All right, everybody, welcome back to another exciting episode of Living the Scream, the behind the scenes of The Mummy and the Monkey Show. That's right, and we have tonight with us
Janet
and James, your hosts, but we have a special guest as well. We're in his living room, neighbor Brian.
Hi.
Howdy, neighbor Brian. How you been, man?
Oh, it's fantastic. I'm having a great time. Good to be here. And thank you.
It's great to have you. And well, if you're a fan of the show, just to give you a little background of The Mummy and Monkey Show, if you're a fan of that, Brian played or portrayed a horror host in one of our horror host auditions for a segment that we do called Not So Famous Monsters.
Yes, and I think that was season 2, episode 4, maybe?
You might be right.
Frankenstein's Island.
Yeah, that's right. You're right.
He remembers.
Janet gets the big no prize. That's just Stan Lee used to give those out at Marvel, right?
Yes. I win a shot, though, don't I?
Yeah. Matter of fact, even better, yes. So we're going to do our traditional show shot. Tonight we are drinking what? We got Janet has...
My Jack Daniels.
Her tried and true Jack Daniels. Yes. And Brian and I are partaking in a little bit of...
Glenmorangie. Single malt Scotch whiskey, 10 years old.
Wow. This is going to be fun. All right, ready, everybody? Let's do the show shot.
Ready.
We say cheers on three.
No, one, chars.
No, chars. Okay.
Chars.
Chars.
Yeah.
You tap that.
That's right. Here we go. Glenmorangie. Mm. Thank you, man.
PBR to chase it.
That is really nice. Chasing mine with a Bud Light.
Very smooth.
That is very good.
Yummy.
That's very much like Jack. It reminds me of Jack Daniels a little bit.
The Scotch stuff?
Mm-hmm. Which,
That's different.
That's good. Wow. That's,
It's the good stuff as far as Scotch goes.
It is really good, and it's not really, like, potent. It's very smooth.
No. And it warms you going down.
I feel it. I'm feeling it. Yeah.
Nice.
Okay, so let's get people feeling this episode of our show of Living the Scream, okay?
By the way, don't let me drive, please.
We will try our best to keep you seated throughout the rest of the night.
Thank you.
Okay. Good. So hopefully everyone's glued to their seats tonight because tonight's topic is a great one. I think. No matter, but before we get to that, let's talk to Brian. Let's pick Brian's brain. Let's see what Brian's all about. Our neighbor Brian.
Okay.
Okay. So it's interesting. We'll give you the backstory out there. So Janet and I moved to a little cute neighborhood in Cleveland, Ohio, a couple years ago, and we were having a yard sale like the first year we were there, and a neighbor of ours came up to us, and we just started talking, and I'm not really sure what sparked the conversation. Who we learned later was his name was Brian, who was with us tonight. But we started talking about horror hosts, I believe, and things like that.
It was all the cool stuff you were selling at the yard sale that clued me in to your type of personality.
Ah, okay.
I think.
Right. I'm a little blurry, unless you remember.
I think we had like some old monster toys, maybe like some old VHS we had at the yard sale. So
and
I think that's...
I brought up Gagliardi and you guys freaked out.
Our eyes lit up.
Or even mentioned that, hey, we do a show called The Mummy and the Monkey Show on YouTube.
And then, of course, I went home and I watched several episodes of The Mummy and the Monkey, and I was...
Devastated.
Transported.
Oh, transported.
I was transported to devastation, but...
Right. Oh. Of course, I knew it was
going to
be
what was so cute was you looked like Betty...
Betty Page. Yeah, with the bangs.
So cute.
Yeah, yeah. There's a little bit of a Betty Page vibe going out with Janet, as you all know out there. So yeah, so we hit it off, and I mean, you couldn't ask for a better neighbor.
And I did. I would like to make this one note that I didn't buy anything.
Well, we didn't hold that against you.
No, but that's okay. We forgive you.
Yeah, because it turned out to be a very, very good thing. I mean, we've been over. Just to talk to you, and you've given us stuff for our show props, and you were kind enough to do a segment for us, one of the not so famous monster interview or audition tape segments,
which still makes my goose flesh rise up. I was so happy.
And you're interested in doing another one at some point.
Try and stop me.
Okay, well then we won't. Yeah, we definitely want you on.
I'm such a ham bone.
Yeah, but we've been over his house a bunch of times, had some great conversations about just about everything. I mean, about life, horror movies, science fiction, comic books. I mean, it's interesting.
I joined both of you at last year's Galati Fest.
That's right. And you had a really cool costume that you put together, a cosplay from Forbidden Planet.
Oh.
Yeah, that was awesome. A great costume.
I still love that.
Yeah, and the detail.
Money be damned. You know, there's people that want to save for college and save for emergencies. I'd rather get into character.
Right. And the interesting thing related to just me, it doesn't probably interest anybody but me, but when I was looking for homes a couple years ago, there was one on Laverne, which is not too far from here, street far from here, that I was looking at and was pretty close, but had I moved there, even though it would be close to where Brian, I might not have ever run into you now.
Yeah.
It's very cool how that works, and I'm not a big believer in this kind of thing, but...
And the weird thing is that you're also friends with
another
friend.
So it doesn't stop there, folks. Right. It even gets in more interesting.
It gets
interesting.
Even weirder.
Weirder and more interestinger. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you're friends with Scott, who's also friends with the actor that was Drac from the Frank and Drac show.
On Channel 19 that ran in the late 80s, if you're a buff out there, a Northeast Ohio horror fan buff, you know who we're talking about. And if you don't, look it up on YouTube or watch our episode where we interview Drac, Robert Kokai. It's great.
So we do have some video with him, and he's been in our episodes. And
it's just weird.
Special shout out to Drac. We love you, dude.
Yeah, Bob, what's up, man?
And Scott, too.
Hope you're listening. And Scott, yeah, Scott's a very talented guy. And he even knows people that I've known before I knew both of you. So it's very, you know, the guy Jim Grohman who does the sculpting and the monster toys and all that kind of. He designed Madballs
and
early...
I've known Scott since like ninth grade.
Wow, you guys go way back.
Yeah. Oh, we go way back,
old school.
The coolest thing, and you in your house, you have a the desktop that you and him, you both drew on. In what grade was that?
That was senior. I was a senior in high school, and Scott was a junior, and I made a little doodle on the top right corner of the desk, and Scott Gamble made an answering doodle that was only he knew the punchline to that joke. So the next thing I wrote was, Scott? ? And the next day, we were sitting at the same desk at two different times of the day. And then the next day I went there and it said, Brian? ? And chaos ensued.
Yeah.
I was using my very expensive design markers, which are permanent. Yeah. And Scott was using his. And the desk looks like it was graffitied by comic book artists.
And
he's got this displayed in his house here. It looks amazing.
We can see it right now. It's totally covered with Marvel comic characters.
It's like a comic book threw up all over it.
Exactly. It looks really cool. And you were able to save it. How'd you save the desktop? Because your teacher said, hey.
What I loved was the teacher, shout out, Mrs. Gucciardo, loved her. She, on the last day of school, she said, okay, Brian, fun's fun. Now time to clean the desk off.
Mm.
And I said, okay, I'll take the desk to the art room where I have cleaning supplies for this permanent marker ink.
Mm-hmm.
So, and she said, okay. So I took the desk to the art room where I knew Scott was alone in the art room during a study hall. And I said, Scott, we have an emergency. And it was Scott's idea to unscrew the desktop, replace it with an old desktop from a broken desk.
Jeez.
He knew where the supply room was, and he had a key to it. So he took the desktop wrapped it in brown paper, pretended it was an art project, smuggled it home, and placed it in his garage, where he promptly forgot about it for like 25 years.
Incredible.
He called me when I was, before I bought the house, I was in an apartment, and he said, guess what I found?
Jeez.
And he said what it was, and I said, okay, you've had it for almost 30 years, now it's my turn.
Right.
So he brought it over, and I wired it to hang on the wall.
It looks amazing.
What a great story.
Look, that is really cool. I mean, there's so much stuff from my past I wish I still had. Trust me, I have a ton of it still.
Oh,
but, I mean, I like kept every piece of paper I've ever had drawn on or sketched on.
Oh, I know. There's like piles of stuff in the basement and garage.
The life of an artist hoarder. I can't help it.
I had the same boxes and boxes of papers. I've narrowed it down through judicious throwing away.
Right.
I've got it down to like one big box of all
Right, so again, another kindred sort of moment that we have between each other, being creative people, not only illustrators, artists, and wanting to do something in the acting field or the entertainment field, which for me was kind of reluctant. I mean, I didn't ever set out to do this. I've always, in my heart as a child, wanted to be a horror host show ever since watching The Ghoul and Big Chuck and Little John and
Supergirls.
And you're
a big kid anyway.
I'll die a big kid. It's not going to change. I think we
nothing
all
nothing wrong with that. We're all big kids.
The people in this room just... You can't not... To give that up would be just to die. You can't give that up.
You can't not do it.
Right. It fuels your everyday existence.
Right.
It validates your everyday existence.
I think we should start to get into today's topic.
We can, but I still want to know a little bit about Brian's background. Now, what got you into the horror genre, horror host genre, things like that? Because you were born and raised where?
Stowe, Ohio.
Okay.
Right next to Akron.
Yeah.
And I grew up watching Houlihan and Big Chuck, which was the cherry on the top of the cake when I was a child. Superhost, The Ghoul, Houlihan and Big Chuck. I loved it. I lived for Friday night, and I loved it very much. I thought they were hilarious.
And they didn't do characters. They were just
two guys. I got to tell Houlihan this at one of the conventions, and I said, look, what I did was, after I finished high school, I did a couple semesters of college, and then I moved to Las Vegas, where I lived for 2 years. Then I moved to San Diego for like 5 years. And then I moved up to Burbank, California, where I lived for like 20 years.
Wow.
I tried my hand at being a stand-up comic during the glut, where you couldn't swing a dead cat without hitting a comedy club.
This is probably like the late 80s or early 90s, like Sam Kinison,
Jerry
Seinfeld, all those guys.
I worked with
Bill
Sam
Hicks.
Kinison a few times.
Right, I know. I brought that up when we were on one of our conversations. You had mentioned a few things because you were at Mitzi Shore's Comedy Store. That's a big thing. I mean, that was...
Wow.
At that time, it was a weird breeding ground of like a lot of talent.
They had... a satellite comedy store in San Diego when I first started dipping my toe in the water, and I got to where I thought I had like a good 10 minutes.
Right.
So that made me a decent opening act MC.
Right.
Which I did a few times. And then I thought, oh, it's time to move to LA and try it for real. I moved to LA. And I realized, one, I wasn't that funny. I wasn't that good a writer. And that was like a big turning point for me.
An epiphany?
Yeah. And I realized, you know what? I'm happy with my life getting a paycheck and benefits, you know, during right. my day job.
Yeah, I mean,
and I preferred just
to play it safe, yeah.
the funny guy, rather than like trying like 10,000 other people to be a stand-up comedian.
Right.
But I had fun during my brief sojourn into that nonsense. And then...
But at least you tried, and you know, because you never know. The worst thing is to never try.
And
it's to not know.
And I have good stories. I mean,
oh, you do. You do, trust me.
And
I love your story.
Oh, shucks. And then in 1999, I came back to Stowe. I flew back for my 20-year high school reunion and met somebody that I was smitten with who lived in Akron. We got married, and I had moved back to Akron to live with her. She divorced me after like 4 years, but I had since transferred to working in Cleveland, and I had to get an apartment in Cleveland. We got divorced, and I found Cleveland to be kind of home for mm-hmm. me. I loved it. So I decided to settle down here. And that's when I bought the house.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest is history.
Yeah. And if you're a woman, it would be her story.
Yes.
So there you go. So yeah, and then I'm glad
there's no place like home.
That's right. And I'm glad we ran into you when we did.
Me too.
It's very cool. It's a very cool thing. A lot of kismet and very interesting dynamics, which I usually don't believe in, but hey, it is what it is, and it's pretty cool. So great. So we know your background a little bit.
Yay,
and
thank
this
you,
is
Brett.
Stuff that interests us, and we have many deep conversations in this living room of his over the past couple of years, but now we're getting down to the nitty-gritty.
Back to the topic.
Yeah. So now we know a little bit about Neighbor Brian.
Yeah. So now you guys know about Neighbor Brian.
Yeah. And we got, but more importantly, we have to let everybody know we ordered our food for the night.
Yeah. So because last time we ordered Chinese food, and this time we decided to order
Chinese food
again.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're not very original, I suppose.
Shout out to Spring Garden. It rules. It's the best.
Oh, I love Spring Garden.
And we have
Spring Garden.
And who do we have to thank for our Spring Garden?
Thanks to Neighbor Brian,
that's
who recommended Spring Garden
and
to us.
And we never even cared about any other place.
I've lived in about 4 or 5 major cities.
Okay, and what's the one thing you look for?
One area of the country from the East Coast to the West Coast. And the one thing I look for...
Everyone does. Me too.
Is the good
Chinese
food.
Yes, I agree.
And Spring Garden in Cleveland, Ohio...
Kills it.
...is
awesome.
One of the best I've ever had in the country.
Consistently good.
Sue me.
And that's not even Chinese or Japanese. It's
It's American Chinese.
American Chinese food.
Right.
Cleveland style.
It's awesome. Yeah, it is really good. Yeah, and like I said, we had some. I'm not going to say who we ordered from before. Not very impressed.
We had some other Chinese food that was closer actually, but it wasn't
good.
That good. It
not
was
that
really
great.
Greasy, kind of black.
But I'm telling you, Bri, after you told us about that, we haven't strayed. I mean, that's our go to place, our Chinese food place. So
what's your go to pizza place?
See,
you have one yet?
I do. I mean,
okay.
So
we've got a couple.
So my number one is one that's really not on the grid. It's called Angelo's Pizza. Not
that.
No, that's a good one too. But here's the kicker. Okay, so back growing up when I grew up in Cleveland in the 70s and 80s.
On the closer to the east side, right?
Yeah, Slavic Village area they call it now.
The
but
ghetto.
It was actual Slavic Village area. 71st Harvard area.
Yes.
71st and Fleet, I'm sorry. There was a place called Angelo's Pizza. Oh, Chinese is here.
Food is here.
Food's here.
Woo-hoo. Break.
We are still, no, we still go when they come and deliver. So I'll tell you real quick. So there was a place called Angelo's Pizza.
Hi there.
Our parents went there. My parents went there. People I grew up with, parents went to this place. It was the best pizza. His son still sells take and bake pizzas. Not wake and bake, but take and bake.
Right.
And we have gotten them over the past couple of years, and they're amazing.
And
hello.
Thanks, sir. Thank you.
He's probably confused because he sees us over there.
Yeah.
Across the street. He's like, what are you doing over here?
Do you want to put it on the table? I forgot.
Yeah.
So there's a place called Angelo's that's not anymore. Now, that's not to be confused with Angelo's in Lakewood, which is really good.
Which is the third best pizza in the country.
It is great. Yes. I will give it credit.
Third best.
They're a little pricey, but really
and
good.
I've had pizza from New York City to Los Angeles and a lot of places in between. And the third best is Angelo's in Lakewood.
It is good. So, but for pizza locally, I mean, when we can't get, you know, so like I said again, he's the son of the man that opened Angelo's Pizza in Fleetwood, in Cleveland. Fleetwood Mac. Yeah.
Are you okay?
Are you on Fleet?
No, I'm feeling the.
Are you drunk?
The single malt. Oh, I'm good. But that's the fun of the show. It's supposed to be a little bit like right. that. So. But locally, I like Angelo's, but Arcade.
Athens Pizza.
Another A thing, yeah.
Athens Pizza.
Arcade is another Broadway.
In Cleveland is very good.
Shout out Athens.
Yes, love Greek Athens family pizza. That runs it, really good people. And Geppetto's is good, too.
I like their wings a lot. And
their wings
good
are
too.
Really yummy.
But their wings are
And I like their salads a little more than Athens.
What about you, Brian? What's the pizza around here?
I like, as you can see, I collect pizza menus.
Primo's. We never had that.
And they're delivered here, so I know they deliver here because they drop the menu off. But I've had a few of those.
Upper crust.
I always get the wraps and the fries. But my go-to pizza is Athens.
There we go.
Another Athens fan.
Shout out to Athens. Yeah, yes. Athens is our favorite. I like all the food on the menu. We get... Sometimes we just get the chicken tenders dinners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even just their chicken tenders are fine if you're not in a pizza mood.
That's right.
But let's take a Chinese food break.
Yay!
We're starving. And then we're going to get back to the rest of the show and stay on topic this time.
That's right. No, we got a half.
We got to get back to the topic, guys.
The last half of the show.
It's been fun chit-chatting about random stuff, though.
That's right. And we'll do the topic of the night and we'll answer some questions that we asked people to ask us.
Yeah, we've got like 4 or 5 on Facebook.
Earlier, yes. So we're going to get to all that when we return from...
Living the scream.
That's right.
It took a minute.
That's right.
Thank you.
See you guys in a minute. Back everybody to
Living the Scream.
Oops, sorry.
Whoa, and you're burping Chinese food all over the place.
We're all fat and happy with our Chinese food that we ordered. And what did you get? What did you have?
Like last time, I got my steamed mixed vegetables with white rice spring rolls.
It's good that you do that because I can tell because you're so enormously fat, you need to really diet.
Yeah.
Bring it down.
Well, you have to fit into those bandages as Cleveland's yummy mummy. Right. You don't want Cleveland's chubby mummy.
Right. I can't argue with that.
Or tummy mummy.
Or tummy mummy, yeah.
Luckily, I'm a verbal artist only, and it doesn't matter how I look.
And what was on your plate today? What did you have?
I had fried dumplings and pork lo mein.
Mm-hmm. And I had the chicken lo mein and an order of spring rolls, so... If you wondered what we had to eat, that's what we had to eat.
And Janet kept making you eat your vegetables.
She did throw some broccoli.
Yes, I would throw broccoli into your bowl.
Steamed broccoli onto my beautifully
crafted,
fried, whatever they do, chicken lo mein. It was delicious.
Broccoli's good for you.
I like broccoli.
I'm pulling a mom move. Eat your broccoli.
You're going to pay for it later. That's all I got to say. Anyway, so we were talking to Brian, our neighbor Brian about found out a little bit about his background. And how we all kind of fit together here as far as our interests in horror movies, horror hosts, and things like that. And now we're going to change the subject a little bit. We're going to take a different direction with...
Oh, yes. This topic, and this is one I've been wanting to discuss because we've complained about this so many times.
She has to hear this from me all the time.
Well, no. I always hear your little rant.
You're right. Because of this one question.
Because of this one question.
That's asked us most of any question.
At any convention, any show, even in the store, it doesn't matter. We get this one annoying, irritating pet peeve of a question.
Brian.
And the question is, what channel are you on?
Channel.
Channel.
What about the biggest network on the planet right now? For the past, like, at least decade. The internet, right?
Biggest channel of them all.
The biggest network of them all. Could be YouTube, Vimeo, anything that streams. So, that's the thing. I mean, if someone asked us this question, and they just had a television set with maybe the digital antennas that exist now.
Maybe if they're from 1950.
No, I mean, even now, without any kind of streaming service provider, things like that, then they have no other resort except for whatever their, 18.5 channels and things like that, that they can get in with the digital antenna.
Oh.
But if you have a ISP, right, or internet service provider,
yes,
and you can hook up to the World Wide Web, streaming is as good as it can get at any time now, okay? So you can watch anything you want. Why you would sit there and watch something that's piped in from a local TV station and limited to the areas that they can get to.
And then you'd be stuck having to tune in during this certain time.
Right.
During this certain day.
Must-see TV.
When everyone's got busy schedules. They go to school, they go to work, they've got families, they've got stuff they got to do. So we like that we're online and you can watch us or listen to us pretty much whenever you want. And to kind of curtail it, I've told people, hey, go to themummyandthemonkey.com. We've got all the channel listings, our video online links, and our Facebook, all that stuff.
And neighbor Brian speaking, I've heard a lot about this internet thing. Mm-hmm. I might have to buy one.
Buy the whole internet? Well, that might cost you a pretty penny. Ah. But all you really need to do is call Time Warner Cable, or what are they, Spectrum now, or a service provider like that, the Dish Network,
or AT&T Wi-Fi,
right? Exactly. Depending on where you're from,
and if you can,
what I have,
if you could connect that phone, that television, that
tablet
to the internet, you can watch anything you want at any time you want, basically. Especially with things like YouTube and Vimeo, there are pros and cons to all of these things.
Right, and we're not against a TV deal by any means.
Would we love to be on local channel?
We're interested in any and all offers, in networking and expanding the Mummy and the Monkey. However, we like the freedom of the web because we do get people literally from all over the planet messaging us and, tuning in, and we love it.
And you can even watch Frankenstein's Island. Ooh. Which I find horrifying and yet so mesmerizing, like watching a train wreck.
Yes, right before your very eyes. Yeah, right. So that's the topic is television or the broadcast TV versus streaming, like people's watching habits. Is one better than the other? There's a horror host named Sven Gulli, which I'm sure
everyone knows.
Lots of you out there listening know who he is. A Chicago horror host who has a syndicated show. Well, is it syndicated, technically?
It's on MeTV, which is syndicated nationally, but he did start out local in just the Chicago area.
Right.
Possibly the rest. I don't know the specifics, but he took over the original Sven Gulli.
Right. And his show can only be seen on MeTV.
Yes, his is only on MeTV, only on Saturday nights. They have a few little snippets on YouTube, but you can't watch a full episode on there, so you have to tune in on this channel on that day, and if you've got something else going on, too bad.
Yeah, and nor does he have his episodes available for sale or anything like that.
Not that I know of.
Now, people do tape them and trade them. I know this for a fact, but that's different. I mean, he can't monetize from his shows. He could just, you have to catch him when you catch him.
Well, and he's playing Universal movies, then it makes you wonder, he sell them
like the old
due to the copyright thing?
Right. Yeah, and we have the advantage as the Mummy and the Monkey Show to be able to do that because we use public domain movies, music and material and things like that. Most of it's original stuff. And we are able to, you know, make our own DVDs and sell them because we don't use anything that's copywritten. We would, again, if we had that opportunity, we would abide by those rules and do versions of our show that meet those standards.
But then maybe do a separate web show so there's something to watch if you don't get that channel.
Right.
Just so there's something there to represent Mummy and Monkey.
Now, Brian, you watch a lot of television. Again, the term television is a very...
very loose nowadays.
I don't
programming, watch. Entertainment, content. How do you watch most of yours?
I don't watch any television. I have about 200 DVDs of my favorite old movies. And I watch a lot of YouTube at the moment. I'm content with that. But bear in mind, I'm like from the 1950s or 60s. So I'm very, I'm part Amish, as they say.
So you're going to be, so you're that guy. What channel are you on?
Yeah. No, I don't think so. No, because he isn't that guy. I'm just kidding. We told him where to find us and he goes right to it. He watches our stuff streaming on YouTube. It doesn't have to be on a channel to qualify for something. You know, does that make you a... And that's another question. I know this is a real quick, this is a... Go say something like that.
Well, I think we're going to lead into the same thing. We have the same idea. Because we get a lot of people that are like, oh, that's cute. You're on YouTube.
Right. And I know that's almost
you do your little thing
on garlic and a cross to you when people... YouTube comes
to
up.
Them, yeah, and I don't always like to mention YouTube because it doesn't sound legit to some people. So that's why I usually say the website first.
It sounds like you took a video of your kid and uploaded it to YouTube.
Right. And if that video gets 10 million views, does that make a TV show gets 10 million views that's on a network? What's the difference? Why is it one more valid than the other? Because it was accepted by someone who is in a sales department who says this person will sell this much advertisement for us, because that's what television is.
Yes.
Actual old TV, it's like a magazine. You would only be on the air if it was worthy to sell a certain sort of ad space. If your show didn't perform, you're gone. Right. On YouTube, doesn't matter. You can have one view or a billion views, but you can still upload your... And if people watch it, that's all that matters. And you can monetize on your own videos now.
And it's more interactive, too, where people can comment. You can also do, and we'll probably do this in the future, and we've talked about it, YouTube Live, where you can chat with the people watching you.
And I did post
this. You can't do that on regular TV.
And I posted this question once on a Facebook post and asking, do you have to be broadcast on a broadcast channel to be considered an actual horror host? There are people out there that believe if you're not picked up by a network, then you are not an official horror host.
You're just a wannabe.
You're a wannabe.
According to a few certain someones that we know.
Right. That's fine. I mean, that's their opinion. There are a lot of people out there. Whether your show is good, the material is good, we just do what we can do. I mean, with the Mummy and the Monkey, when we do our show, we write stuff that we think is funny and kind of is akin to the stuff that we are inspired by, like The Ghoul, Big Chuck and Little John, Ghoulardi, Houlihan and Big Chuck, Superhost, things like that, Elvira, Mystery Science Theater 3000. Those are the things that influenced us. But that is another question. I don't know if anybody out there, after you listen to this, wants to reply to that. But does it make you a horror host more valid if they're on a network as opposed to streaming on an uploaded thing like Vimeo or YouTube? Brian, what do you think?
What do you think, neighbor Brian?
I never gave it a single thought, but I would now say no, it doesn't not make you a horror host. If you're on a network, you're a little more traditional, but if you're just streaming what you do, you're still a horror host. You're still hosting horror movies. You're making jokes and skits and characters.
The format's the same.
I would say yes, you're a horror host.
Right, and we not that any of the other horror hosts are looking for any kind of validation that do this type of broadcasting through the internet. But it really is an interesting thing, and to hear other horror hosts that are on television sort of be a little clicky with that.
Look, I mean, down on those.
Kind of.
Yeah, yeah, they kind of poo-poo on the YouTubers. And
some of us are referred to as wannabes for that. Wannabe what? Wannabe picked up by a station that tells you what they want? You know, that's fine. I mean, we would do it. We would.
And then let's say we were picked up by a nationwide network or even a local network. They have rules, regulations, contracts, right, what you can and can't do.
Right.
So then we may have to pull everything that we've done online.
Right.
I know of horror hostesses from out west that have a show that are on a syndicated network out there, and they do very well, but they had to pull a lot of their online segments due to contracting and their regulations.
Yeah, very, very interesting. We could talk about this probably for 10 hours and not ever come to any kind of real conclusion. But, yeah, I mean, that's how we feel about it. We feel that if somebody has the desire to do something, whether you're a street performer or on the stage, you're still a performer. You still have something to offer the public. Entertainment is entertainment. Doesn't matter how it's delivered to you.
It's like, are you an artist even
right,
if you have nothing hanging in a museum?
In the Louvre, right. Yes, you are. We know that. So
yes,
the same thing should apply to any form of entertainment. And I guess we'll leave it at that. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back right here with...
Living the Scream!
With the Mummy
and
the
Mummy. Ah!
Whoa! And Neighbor Brian.
And Neighbor Brian.
He's
That's a good one.
All right. We'll see you in a bit.
That's hey, the 10-year-old. One time in California, I had a bottle of 21-year-old. And with age, the barrel is a lot nicer, smoother. Mm-hmm. And my friend said, you know, the scotch is old enough to vote.
Nice. Glenmorangie scotch. Very nice. Single malt.
Glenmorangie.
Oh, look at me. Got to brush up on my Francais or whatever that... What is it, French?
Scottish. Mm. It rhymes with orange. That's how I... That's how you think about it.
Right.
And it's one of the oldest distilleries in Scotland.
Mm. Good stuff. Well, hey, everybody. Welcome back to Living the Scream, the behind the scenes of The Mummy and the Monkey Show with
Janet J. or Janet Decay. Sorry, we're eating Klondike bars.
And James, who portrays Grim Gory. And we're here with Neighbor Brian. We're enjoying some Klondike bars, right?
Yay.
Yeah, delicious stuff. Thanks, Brian, for the,
yummy,
the Klondike dessert. And yeah, so we're in the final stretch of the show. And we're going to answer some questions, field some questions, if you will, from the ask that we put out there on Facebook today. We asked people to, and we'll do it every week, ask people what they'd like to ask us about our show or horror hosting or the horror movie genre in general.
Yes.
So what do we got?
Okay.
Who and what?
Well, this is from, I guess, the Mummy and the Monkey fan page.
Right.
Jason Hillard asks, what horror host did you two watch growing up?
This, and it should be us three watching. Okay.
Yeah, us three.
Let's be cordial and let our guest today, Neighbor Brian, say who he watched growing up.
Who did you watch, Neighbor Brian?
It might be the Klondike bar talking. Mm. I grew up watching Hula Hen and Big Chuck,
yeah,
The Ghoul, and Superhost.
Nice.
From Cleveland, Ohio.
Yep. Janet?
Big Chuck and Little John, The Ghoul, Elvira, and Frank and Drac a little bit. I was kind of young when they were on.
Yeah. And as far as Grim Gory goes, my mom turned me on to Houlihan and Big Chuck and The Ghoul, the Ron Swede Ghoul, in the early 70s. I was born in 69, so I remember watching, you know, The Ghoul and Houlihan and Big Chuck in the 70s. Which evolved into Big Chuck and Little John. Loved Superhost stuff on Saturday mornings, Saturday afternoons. And And then recently, some of my newest inspirations are Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Oh, I forgot them.
Yeah, the Mike Nelson and Joel years I love a lot, and I'm watching the new version right now. So.
Oh, I haven't watched the new one yet.
It's on Netflix. Yeah, it's pretty good. It's not too bad.
Cool.
It's very entertaining. You got to get used to the new voices and all that, but
yeah, a little different. But it took me a while. Watch, you know, still enjoyable.
You know, when Mystery Science, I heard about it in the '90s, and I was like, yeah, but nothing's better than Big Chuck and Little John or The Ghoul. I was wrong. These guys are amazing. You know, Joel Hodgson and Mike Nelson. These guys wrote some really really funny stuff.
I heard it was described as like watching a bad movie with three of your funniest friends.
It is.
Yeah.
And once I got used to that whole, you know, yes. What they did, I'm totally inspired and love it. And you know this for a fact.
Oh, yeah. I know you love those guys.
I watch it every
day. We go see the Riff Trax live. And gosh, I remember when I first saw them on the Sci-Fi Channel in the 90s. Yeah. I was maybe 12, 13.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, why are they blocking the screen? Why are they sitting like that?
They actually.
Why is this movie so bad? And it took a couple times watching it where I'm like, hey, this is funny.
I discovered them, of course, as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And I was born in 1960.
Mm.
And I never looked back. I own a couple of their shows, mm-hmm, and movies. And special shout out to The Day the Earth Froze. And... Oh. My favorite. I love them.
Yeah, they're really good.
Mine was Rosdower. Final Sacrifice.
Final Sacrifice, yeah. There's a movie called Final Sacrifice.
Oh, right.
Amazingly bad Canadian movie about devil worshippers trying to raise the nation's city.
Star William Shatner?
No, there's nobody you would ever
You've never seen one of these
people.
They're all like no-name people.
I was thinking of The Devil's Rain.
Maybe, yeah.
R-A-I-N, rain.
Right,
not
question.
Rain as in the king rains.
Right, or purple rain.
All right, well, we are making it rain with these questions.
All right, another question. What we got here?
The next one is from Isaac Zaveson. What is your greatest influence for the show?
We're kind of getting into that.
Kind of getting into that, yeah.
Greatest influence, again, Mummies first.
Well, it's what we just discussed, like all those great shows that we grew up watching. And all the old crappy B movies that we love, it created a lot of inspiration. And then, like, well, with me, like, ancient Egyptian stuff, the Munsters, the Addams Family, like, all those weird offbeat kind of shows that just kind of stuck with me.
Yeah, I mean, when I was a kid, and I still have some of this stuff, I was obsessed with Big Chuck and Little John, and first Houlihan and Big Chuck, then Big Chuck and Little John. I would even build, and I still have some, I would take the back of sketch pads I had and writing pads. There was always this like piece of cardboard on the back of it, like 8.5 by 11. I would like get two or three of those and I'd tape them together and make my own little sets. Like miniature sets. And I still have them where I would cut and paste little creatures from comic books and magazines and draw my own stuff.
Oh, that's funny.
Glue little toys out of the gumball machines I would get and make my own mini sets.
Is that how we built our background?
Kind of, yeah. The Mummy the Monkey set is basically based on the idea of having just a giant piece of cardboard, because that's all our set really is.
And I remember when I was younger, I used to take all the dead cats in the neighborhood and put them in a circle around me, and for one brief, glorious moment, I was the leader.
Wow.
Whoa. We never heard that side of you before, neighbor Brian.
I was only kidding.
You know, I can't trump that. I'm not going to try. This guy is huge. Okay? He's fantastic. He took dead cats. I don't like cats, okay? It's fine with me. Anyway.
I like cats.
Yeah. Cats.
Do not hurt the kitties.
All right. So, yeah. So, influences would have to be the initial ones for me. Yeah. Big Chuck and Little John. Houlihan and Big Chuck. The Ghoul, Superhost.
All the ones we touched on earlier. Yeah,
and they always warped
our little minds.
And I wanted to do this, and now we're kind
of
doing
it. And, of course, also, neighbor Brian speaking, I was raised on Mad Magazine.
Oh, yeah, which, Cracked and Mad and all those things, yeah.
Which totally warped me and taught me to question everything. And it also taught me that when I was cussing, I should be using those little symbols.
Yeah, hashtags have, and
the
symbol,
ampersand,
at accent, symbol. Yeah, that's how you curse.
That's like
Hubert cussing.
No, that's yeah. How to cuss.
Hubert cursing. All right, next question. Hope we answered the last one.
Joe Hedge, our Indiana fan. Thank you, Joe.
Hey, Joe.
Do you have any other plans or specials in the works?
Woo, baby.
Ooh, that's a great question. Boy, howdy. We do.
There's a lot of stuff going on.
Well, we're continuing this podcast. We want to do more of this. Mm-hmm. And we are wanting to do another Halloween special. We also need to wrap up season 2 and get our plans ready for season three.
Yes. We have lots of stuff in the works. Yeah.
Plus public appearances, too. We're getting booked up this year.
Yeah. We're going to have to maybe wait until next podcast to kind of give details. But there's something that might be involving the mummy, the monkey, and a certain big guy and a little guy coming up pretty soon in May, towards the end of May.
You Cleveland people would know who this is.
Yeah, if you read between the lines there. But we'll definitely have we'll talk all about it next podcast. So you have to tune in for episode 3 to know what we're talking about now.
We'll discuss more goings on next week.
Yeah, but there's something coming up on May 20th that might be really big and really little.
Ooh.
So we'll see. How about
that? That's what she said. Okay. Another question by Joe. What is your best childhood memory of watching a horror host and program?
Okay, let's let Brian field this question.
Let's hear where Brian starts.
Let's go in the Wayback Machine, Mr. Peabody.
The best memory, of course, we've already mentioned Houlihan and Big Chuck. Mm-hmm. And I thought they were so funny. And I have since worked at the Comedy Store in L.A. And San Diego, and I've met and watched a great many comics, and I was fortunate enough to be able to tell Houlihan, Bob Wells, to his face that with all that comedy, all the professionals I saw, he was one of the funniest guys I ever saw and one of the most talented in all his just goofy impressions and his characters. He was fantastic.
Yeah. And I think even Chuck talks about how he would just, he didn't even think twice about asking Bob to do an impression or come up with a character because he was just that versatile. He was just, he was the weatherman. He started as a weatherman.
Houlihan the weatherman.
Yeah, on WJKW back in, TV8.
For you guys
in the
that
60s.
Don't live in the Cleveland era, go on, is it BigChuckLittleJohn.com?
Yep.
Where you can...
or just Wikipedia, BigChuckLittleJohn.
Wikipedia, There's a ton of information, a ton of clips on YouTube.
If there was only a place where you can type in something and find out everything about
anything.
If only
we could look it up somehow.
If there was any sort of thing like an internet or... Yeah, that's the beauty of this day and age, which a lot of people take for granted, is that you'd have to go to the library or ask somebody and hope that they're right. Back in the day.
Or have parents that...
Remember correctly.
Bought the World Book Encyclopedia.
Yeah. Right. Remember the encyclopedias used to be... Yeah. They come knocking at your door. But it was limited because it was just for whatever happened up to that time.
One time when I had... When I started having... I started making some money. And years ago, I called the Encyclopedia Britannica company, and I said, I'd like to buy a set of encyclopedias, and the guy started saying, okay, it's this much a month, and then we send you a volume a month. And I said, no. How much for the entire set? And he said, huh? And they wouldn't sell me an entire set.
No, it's about making money every month from you. And, shipping and handling.
I'm like, I'll pay all that right at once.
Right.
Just send me all 20 volumes. I have a shelf for it. And I finally bought one at a used bookstore at a library sale or something. And then, of course, I gave it away, and I never look at it now because there's Wikipedia.
Right. And the internet is it's at your fingertips, and it's pretty much all the information that the powers that be allow you to know.
But you already knew that.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get to another question.
All right, another question.
I don't know if we answered that last question, but
I didn't get to answer that.
Okay,
one.
So any other plan? Childhood memory. Childhood memory.
So Jan. Yeah, your best childhood memory of watching a horror hosted program. It's hard to narrow it down to just one, but there were some great days. Me and my brother watching Big Chicken Little John with my mom, and you know my stepdad. We've got pizza or KFC. Sometimes, Friday nights were KFC pizza nights.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, why not? Anything junk food.
Yeah, all that junk food that's terrible Doritos, and greasy.
Yes. Yeah, McDonald's, whatever. Yeah.
We love food here.
Heck yeah. Junk food and junk movies go hand in hand. So that was your best memory.
Yeah, you know, just kind of hanging out and pretending we're a normal family. Yeah. Just for one night watching Big Chicken Little John.
Yeah, that's all you needed, right? That little bit of escape.
Just
to
that
be able
little
to,
bit, like
to
in
cope
the,
with the week ahead.
Right, yeah. In the early 90s as a little kid.
Your version of kid drinking, right? Yeah, mine would have to be just every night. I would be upset when I would miss, when I would fall asleep. And not watch, miss the whole program.
Would you throw a fit?
Because the news was so boring. I would have to sit through the news at the time as a kid.
If I made it through Dick Goddard's weather report, I knew it'd be okay.
Right.
But usually that's right about when I'd fall asleep.
Yeah.
And then I'd wake up at like 2 in the morning.
Angry.
During.
Ate all night or
the next movie that was not hosted by them.
Mm-mm.
But I still enjoyed it.
Right.
Or I'd wake up at the end of their pajama party.
Yeah. Is that? Oh. They play Peggy Lee. Yeah. And so, one of my favorite memories is, and luckily I have one on tape. I was in my late teens at the time, but I would send pictures in from time to time, being a budding young artist. And the movies, Big Chuck and Little John, when they would show some stuff. And I did one of The Exorcist. I did a picture of Reagan possessed. And I do have a copy of that from 1986, Halloween show. It's great. And they do hold it up and they say, this is from James Harmon of Cleveland. I'll have to get you a copy of that. It's really cool.
Aww.
It's The Exorcist they show on a Halloween show in 1986.
Did you freak out? Like, holy crap, they put art on TV.
Because in the past, they did show it. And they said my name and I was like, but I never made it to a show. That's one of my, I think a better question, or a different question might be, not better, but What did you wish you did? I never ever got to sit in the audience of Big Chuck and Little John.
I never did either.
It never occurred to me that a human being could, because at the time I lived in a suburb of Akron, and Hula and Big Chuck were from Cleveland, mm-hmm. which to
might as
me
well be in Saudi Arabia.
Was yeah, like Saudi Arabia.
It's just so far away.
It seems like very far away.
It's unimaginable the distance.
Cleveland.
Yeah, big city.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Okay.
Well, there were more questions on your phone, actually.
Oh.
I don't know if they were on your personal page or one of our other fan pages.
Looks like it personal. We'll see.
I saw you had a couple more on there that were a little
different.
That
were not on that one.
That
were
not on this post. We shared this post a couple times to try to get more interaction.
And we'll do that all the time prior to the show. Can we talk about really quick what I initially posted and how spell check didn't work for me?
He had a really major typo that was that could have been terrible.
Yeah,
because it could have ruined our reputation with this one tiny typo.
Right. So if you read the post, it was, "Hey, what's buzzing, cousins? We're taping episode 2 of the Mummy and the Monkeys podcast show, Living the Scream. We tape around 6 p.m. and would love."
So he posted an R.
Yes.
He had a typo. The T was an R.
And we didn't.
And
we
don't
nothing,
do that.
We did nothing like that at 6 p.m.
We don't do nothing like anything like that.
So I did correct the post, but I did get some people that said, might want to edit that, brother. Break a leg. And then another guy, Kenji Jumaine, was like, yikes. So we did edit it. We are taping, and that's it.
Yeah, that's it. Nothing lewd or offensive.
Okay, so from Richard Wise, he asks, which horror movie host influenced you and Janet? I think we've been saying the same thing.
Yeah, I think
fine.
We answered a similar question already.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, I mean, it's basically the ghoul.
Even if we're not, aside from the local people, I do like Elvira when I would catch her on cable. And Mystery Science Theater 3000 was on Sci-Fi Channel for a while in the 90s.
Right. And there's actually a documentary. I don't know if I spoke about this last time. called American, what was it called?
American Scary.
American Scary.
And that was made Sandy, by Sandy Clark.
Sandy Clark, a friend of ours. It's an have you seen this movie, Brian?
No.
Need to get you to see this. Okay. It's amazing. It is a total documentary, and Big Chuck and Little John are in it, interviewed in it, as well as a lot of other horror hosts from around the country, from all different decades. It's a total inspiration. I love this movie. It's the go-to movie for me, especially, to get inspired to do this, to continue doing this. Because it's like anything else. If it was popular once, it would have to be popular again. It can be.
As Takei would say, what's old can be cool again.
At least we hope it is. So, yeah, it's for us being local Northeast Ohioans, it's going to be Big Chuck, Little John, Hulan, Big Chuck the Ghoul.
But there's so many great. Goulardi was, Goulardi and Mad Daddy were the first ones over here.
Yeah, Frank and Drac. I wish there were, the Mad Daddy was in 1958, Goulardi was in 63.
But every region has their own. Like, we went to Motor City Nightmares last year. We didn't get to make it this weekend.
Right.
But, they had Sir Graves Ghastly, and they had the Ghoul in Detroit for a little bit. But, like, it's so cool that everyone has, like, their own weird character on TV they would watch.
I'm sorry, I need to interrupt. Janet keeps brushing my foot.
I keep bumping your
hand, and it's making me very uncomfortable.
I'm sorry.
I needed to bring that up publicly.
Bring that up.
Because I'm like, please stop it.
She is a temptress. I know this for a fact.
Well, no, I talk with my hands like an Italian lady, and I don't mean to. I'm half Lebanese, close enough, I guess.
Yes.
I talk with my hands. I don't mean to. And then I end up hitting his foot.
And I have to cross my leg. I have to cross the other leg so that doesn't happen.
I will smack my hands and refrain from waving them around like Super Mario or something.
I'm feeling very abused.
Sorry. Where's HR? We don't have an HR here. Okay. Hey, next question is from Jim McAllister. Which movie is your all-time favorite horror flick? And Godzilla versus King Kong? Who is the king of the monsters? Who is the true king of the monsters? So let's answer that question.
Okay, which movie is your all-time favorite horror
flick? We'll default to our guest, neighbor Brian.
There are so many, it's hard to pick one,
we'll pick one
that's the best.
Yeah, we got about 4 minutes here.
If I had to, I'd pick Frankenstein's Island.
Oh my God, yeah, by far.
Awful.
Not Vampire Ticks from Outer Space?
That's a close second. That's a real close second.
It's a true B movie.
Except it doesn't have bikinis made of leopard skin on girls.
Yeah, nubile young women, right?
When are you going to buy me a leopard print bikini?
Yeah, hey, what's up with that?
Whoa, hey, yeah, what is up with that?
Do yard work in a mummy car? Come on!
Well, when I do buy you a leopard skin bikini, everyone out there will be the first ones to hear it. Right here
to
on
hear
Living the Scream.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
So,
because I'm really more of an audio kind of guy.
That's right, when it comes to bikinis. Yeah. Okay, so Janet, your favorite horror movie?
Oh, gosh. I can't pick a favorite one. I'll pick a favorite bad one, then.
Okay.
Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Everyone's
I love that movie.
Creme de la creme.
Yes. That is the Cadillac of B movies.
Yeah, it's hard for me to put this in. I've been asked this before. I don't know. But let's give something more modern. I love the new Trick or Treat movie that's out. That came out a few years ago.
That's a great movie.
And Cabin in the Woods, I have to say, is probably one of the more brilliant movies I've seen. Have you seen this movie, Brian?
Never heard of it.
You need to do yourself a favor and see this movie. It is incredibly out there. It's a great. I won't give anything away. I know you don't care about spoilers, but this you don't need to spoil because you'll like it.
Thank you.
I think you will.
Are there any more last minute questions?
We got about 3 more minutes or
yeah,
2
we
more
can't,
minutes.
I mean, we might not get to all of them.
Dino did ask a question.
Where do you guys hope to see yourselves in 5 years when it comes to what you guys are now doing with the Mummy and the Monkey? Well, I hope that in 5 years we have such a great cult following that we can, keep doing the show because it's something that we love, do this full time, and just do more appearances, interact with the fans, and just love it.
And do you, Janet, do you see yourself bouncing a little monkey on your knee at some point?
Oh my goodness. Everyone asks that because we just got married, and it's like one of those personal questions.
Oh, only I'm time sorry. Will tell. You have to stay tuned.
The best right. answer I could give is maybe.
And okay. Or stay tuned.
Or stay tuned, as Decay would say.
So you were saying earlier, Brian, about how you felt about when you watch our show. What is it that you said?
I said that what I love about it is as soon as I met you, I came home and downloaded and watched like two or three in the same night, or I mean, not at the same time. And what I loved was it kind of brought me back and made me feel 10 years old again.
Nice.
Laughing like a kid, making underarm farts, and just. And it transported me back to when I was sitting in front of the TV, the only one up, eating Doritos,
yeah.
drinking root beer, watching Hula and a Big Chuck.
Yes. Well, you know what? We didn't plan that, but we do think that, you know? And we do this because we totally love it. And we kind of glossed over one of the questions somebody asked about who's the true king of the monsters, King Kong or Godzilla?
If it has to be...
And that's how we'll end the show right now. We'll end Living the Scream with these comments. Let's go to Brian.
But before, remember to check out themummyandthemonkey.com for all our contact info. Plug, plug, plug.
That's right. We love our plugs. Okay, so we'll end the show with who's the true king of the monsters, Brian, King Kong or Godzilla?
Well... Does it have to be only one of those two?
Just pick one.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, King of the Monsters would be Godzilla. But an old trooper like me would have to kind of squeeze in Gamera, the giant flaming flying turtle.
Friend of children, Gamera.
Gamera is friend to children.
Makes no sense. But I also love King Kong.
So, Godzilla for you. Janet?
I'm going to pull a politician move and not answer the question directly.
Okay.
And answer it with, Masuraya.
Ah, that's not fair. So, you know what? I'm going to have to play devil's advocate, and I don't want to get beat up by any of my cousins. I'm going to say, King Kong is the true king of the monsters. Ooh. And we'll have to leave it at a draw right here on Living the Scream with the Mummy and the Monkey. We want to thank Neighbor Brian for being here tonight. Woo! Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Neighbor Brian.
Yes. And hopefully we'll see you on a future episode. Oh, okay. Well, there you go. We like to hear that words of encouragement. Janet, did you have any last parting words to say?
Just check out themummyandthemonkey.com. Love you guys.
All right. We'll see you next time on Living the Scream. The behind the scenes of the Mummy and the Monkey Show. See you later, alligators.
That's so weird.
I'm never gonna fall in love. I'm never